Good morning. If you have your Bible with you, please open to Exodus, the 5th chapter. This morning's scripture reading will be coming from Exodus, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 3. Exodus, chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. I will be reading from the King James Version. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And they said, "The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword."
What a great question that was asked by Pharaoh. Who is the Lord? That's a good question for us today. And I have to be brutally honest with you, and you'll learn about me as our relationship grows with one another, that I tend to be a man of honesty from the pulpit, even with my own difficulties and struggles. When we think about who is the Lord, we have to ask ourselves that question. I think sometimes we take for granted that we know certain things. I'm not talking about a knowledge of awareness, but I'm talking about a knowledge of intimacy. All of us want to believe that we know God. And if you have been baptized into Christ, you should. But just like what Peter said in 2 Peter 3 and verse number 18, there the Bible teaches us to grow in the grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We know that our knowledge of God ought to grow, ought to get deeper, more intimate. When we think about this great question that was presented by Pharaoh, I say it's a great question, but really, when you think about what Pharaoh asked, he really did not know the Lord. He didn't know who he was up against. You know, in the 20 years that I've been a Christian, sometimes I don't know who I'm up against. Sometimes when we think about the Lord, we think about, well, I know him because I know a couple of passages. I know John 3:16. I know Romans 5:8. I know Revelation 22:18 and 19. But the question is, do we know God? That's really what we're going to be talking about on today. For the next couple of weeks, we're going to be beginning the series on who is God? What is God? What does he want from us? I believe when we think about this, it's going to help us in our identification of self. Friends, when we know who God is and we begin to deepen that relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ and the Spirit's Word, we then begin to understand who we are. And I know for a fact this is the problem in the world that we live in. This is a problem in the world that we live in because most individuals believe this, and maybe even some of us, that I am my body. I am my job. I am those things in which I possess. And Jesus had something to say about that in Luke 12, verse 15. Friends, when we consider, who am I? Who is the Lord? My prayer, my aim as gospel teacher is that 9th and Main be the most educated, most grounded, most balanced, most spiritual and blessed people in Angelo, Texas. And I challenge every last one of us to draw near unto God, James chapter 4, that he may draw near unto us. I challenge us that we deny ourselves every single day, Luke 9, verse 23. I challenge us not to go to the Bible as if I already know, but to go to the Bible knowing that God knows all things and I know nothing unless He teaches me through His Word. I know for a fact that many, even amongst us, lean to our own understanding. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10, verse 23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself, is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. It teaches us that we have to be eternally careful on how we think. Friends, the God that we serve is a God that sits high and looks low. He's a God that knows all things. He's a God that never does anything wrong. He's a God that can direct our steps if we would go to the inspired Word of God. So here we have God sending Moses back to Pharaoh. And I need you to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. So that's what Pharaoh did. And Pharaoh's response, that's what Moses did. Pharaoh's response was, who is the Lord that I should listen to him? Now friends, we want to get down on Pharaoh, and probably we should. But really, could we put ourselves in that blank? Who is the Lord that I should listen to him? This was Paul's arguments in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Where's the wise? Where's the scribes? Where's the disputers of this age? Here we have God's wisdom that brings to naught the wisdom of men. Who is the Lord? Who is this God that we want to serve? I want us to be a people who walk according to the Spirit's teaching. A people who will die for Brother Popejoy and defend their faith. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. A people who live for Christ and desire to see God's face one day. Revelation 22 verse 3 and 4. A people who desire eternal life. A people who want to know Christ and know the Father. I was telling my daughter yesterday as we was traveling back from the fair. I said, I am embarrassed. After 20 years of study, that the more I get to know about God, the more I don't know about Him. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed to be a preacher sometimes because I just don't know Him like I need to know Him. And the more we know about God, the better we think, the better we live, the better we treat Him, and the better we treat our neighbor. See why the world is in chaos, because they don't know God. I see why people identify themselves with their girlfriend and their boyfriend, their husband, their wife, their children, instead of identifying themselves with Christ. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Paul, what are you saying? I need to know who God is. I need to know Him. Question, do we know God? Do we know Him? Who is He? Is He just this being that sits on the top of the earth, if you will? On top of the firmament that He looks down. Is He a God that just sees the evil? Or does He see all things? Who is this God? Who is He? I believe when we figure out who this God is, then we'll better serve Him. We'll better love Him. Understand Him. Want to be just like Him. You know, in John 4... let that baby cry. It's all right. Somebody saying amen up in here. In John 4, Jesus in verse 21 and 22 in that area is talking to that Samaritan woman. And he said unto her, you don't know what you worship. salvation is of the Jews. Our fathers worship on this mountain. And you say that Jerusalem is the place where we ought to worship? She didn't know what she was talking about. So here comes Jesus as he opens her understanding and he teaches her God is spirit. We'll deal with that next week. They that worship him in spirit and in truth. I don't want to talk about what is God. I want us to talk about who is God. I hope you take notes. 16 things I want you to know about God. I promise to have you out by dinner. 16 things that I want us to know about who God is. And every last one of these things, if I can say it like that without disrespect to God, is going to show us how he is involved in the lives of those in the Old Testament, keeping in mind that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So he is also involved in our lives if we would just know him. Know him. And I ain't talking about how I know Michael Jordan. I'm talking about how I know Evelyn Bonner. See, I know Michael Jordan. I can Google him all day long. But I don't know him. See, and this is what God wanted his people. And I believe, Brother Pojo, after thinking about this and mulling over this, Brother Dennis, in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm like, I see what God is saying now. All of this time, I brought the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, and the only thing I wanted them to do is know me. But they knew more about the Egyptian gods than they knew about Jehovah. Number one, even before this, in Genesis 22 and verse number 14, Abraham, remember we talked about that on last week, and how God provided a substitute, a sacrificial substitute. In place of Isaac, there was a ram caught in the thicket. And there the Bible teaches us that Jehovah was called by Abraham, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord sees and provides. Question, does God still provide for us today? You better believe he does. Question, do you trust God to provide for you even today? Matthew 6, verses 6 through the end of the chapter. Number two, these are quick, friends. I'm going to have you out. I just need us to think about these. See, one thing I love about God more so today than I did yesterday and the day before is that God wants me to know who he is. I'm reminded of what Paul said in Acts 17, that God is not far from you. He wants you to feel and grope after him. Genesis 35 and verse number 11, he is El Shaddai. Literally, he is God Almighty. Literally, he is the most powerful one. Not Allah, not Buddha, not Confucius, or any other being that man wants to prop up as a false god. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4 through 6. There is no other God except God Almighty. Number three, Genesis 14, verse 18 through 22, he is the most high God. Y'all go back and y'all look at those. And friends, let's slow down for a second. I'm not talking about in the lesson, I'm talking about in life. Let's not be like the rich man and lift up our eyes in torment, realizing I could have had a chance to know who God was. But I can lift up my eyes now and I can look down at his word and I can spend time with his word and find out who he is. Why? Because he says, I want you to get to know me. Question. Do you know God? If a stranger was to ask you, well, who is this God you serve at the Church of Christ? Could you explain who he was? Brother Lance, this was embarrassing to me. I couldn't go in my mind systematically and just say, okay, this is who God is until now. It's embarrassing. Which teaches me that we need to spend more time. Mike Bonner needs to spend more time in the Word of God. Number four, Exodus 20 and verse number 7. Here we see the plurality and the possessiveness of God, that not to take the Lord God's name in vain. Meaning, the Father, here it is, the Word, and the Spirit. Who is He? Does it make you cringe when people call God's name in vain? When they use words and they put adjectives to words, and then they have the audacity to use our Lord Jesus Christ's name or our Father's name in vain. Does it make you cringe, Brother Dennis? It makes me cringe. Here's one of those illustrations that Brother Polka was talking about in Bible class. If you wasn't here for Bible class, we encourage you to come to Bible class. Back in the hood where I grew up. Don't smile. Come on now. You just didn't talk about folks' mama. Those were fighting words. Just the very fact that you said your mama, stuff was coming off. Hold on. Do we feel that way when people use our Lord's name in vain? Who is this God? He's a God that has to be high on the platform of our hearts and minds and desires. Number five, Isaiah 44 and verse number 16, He's Yahweh. He's Jehovah. Oh, this name He has used over 2,000 times in the scriptures alone. As a matter of fact, in that particular verse, and our denominational associates, Jehovah's Witnesses, they say that Jesus Christ is not God. Hold on. You should have told Jehovah that, because Jehovah called the Redeemer Jehovah. Jesus Christ is God. He is Jehovah. And because He's Jehovah, we need to reverence Him as such. No wonder God has given Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, Philippians 2, 8 through 11. Oh yes, friends, He's Jehovah. But then turn to Exodus 17. Look at verses 8 and verse 15. I want to show you something. Jehovah is our banner. Hold on. The Amalekites were against the people of God. And here we have Moses, as he is instructed by Jehovah to send the men out. And as they were sending the men out, you remember, as long as Moses had his hands up, the people of God were prevailing over the Amalekites. And soon as his hands started to come down because of his weariness, we have Ben and Hur who keeps his hands up, and the people of God prevail over the Amalekites. And here we have an altar built in the wilderness. No, not in Jerusalem, in the wilderness. We have an altar built in the wilderness, and here we find Moses saying, the Lord is my banner. God is my banner. You know, we have those banners. You know, y'all cowboy fans have those banners on y'all's cars, and they're sitting there and they're doing all like that in the wind. No, Jehovah is our banner. He's our identification. He's the one that leads the fight. Oh, Jesus uses this particular idea in Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 20. After He has been raised from the dead, He tells His disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The idea there was is that when a nation would go and conquer another nation, they would have one of the soldiers, as he was going down, he's going back to the people, and he's saying, victory is ours. They have this banner, and they knew that as long as this man was coming with this banner, that we had victory over our enemies. You know what God is for us? He's our banner. What banner do you live under today? Do we know God? Who is this God? Have you looked at God as a banner? That's what He is to us. He's our banner. That when folks see us, they see Christ living in us. Number 7. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, I was interested in that. The word Jehovah Ra'ah, R-A-A-H, literally, what the psalmist is saying there, that God unceasingly shows himself to me. Oh, no. The psalmist wasn't saying that he saw him literally. But the relationship of intimacy was there, even in the midst of going through the shadow of death. I fear no evil. Literally, he keeps company with me. He's a friend of companionship. And one thing I know about God, and you know about God, and that we ought to always keep in our minds, young people, older people, husband, wife, single, it doesn't matter, as long as you're in Christ, God is with you. And no wonder Paul could say, even in the midst of salvation, in Romans 8, verse 28 through 31, that if God be for us, who can be against us? Companionship. Sometimes it seems as if God is far away from us. Do you ever feel that way? David did. Oh, Jesus did. You're so far from my groaning. Psalm 22. Where are you? Number 8, Jehovah Rapha, which literally means God restores. He heals us emotionally. You know, we live in a time now where people are, and there's nothing wrong with getting counseling. You need it. But you know where true counseling is? With God. Jesus said it like this, friends. In Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. You know, but I got to go and get this drink. No, Jesus said, come unto me. I got to go smoke this cigarette. No, come unto me. I need another woman on the side. No, Jesus said, come unto me. I'll heal you. Spiritually. Emotionally. Psychologically. I'll take care of your mental and your spiritual. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. Hold on. Who is this God? Just like Exodus 3 and verse number 14. I am that I am. I'm self-existing. I'm all-sufficient. I'm everything you need. That's the God that we serve. That's the God of the Bible. No wonder Jesus could say to his disciples as he is sending them out on this limited commission in Matthew 10 and verse number 28, fear not him that can destroy the body, but fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Fear him. Oh, friends, could you imagine the task that the disciples were up against? They were going out to the whole world and had the banner of Jesus Christ, Acts 4 and verse 12. And they had to look men and women in their eyes and tell them what they needed to do to be saved. And they feared no one but God. You know, let me say this. Yesterday when we were in Dallas, we were staying at this hotel. They were having this Muslim convention. And I walked in, I saw the Muslims in there. I'm talking about by the droves, right, Mike? By the droves. And my heart. And I'm saying, Mike, what's wrong with you? What are you doing? What if they ask me a question? Hold on. Why? Why should we be afraid? The Lord is our banner. We have the truth. We know Jesus Christ. We know He's Savior. We know He's coming back. It's not Allah, it's Jehovah. Caleb had to get a hold of myself. You know, that happens to us even when we're talking to people on our job, right? You want to say something, but you're not too sure what they're going to say. They might reject you. Hold on, Jehovah's our banner. Jesus is our Savior. And we need more men in the pulpit to let the people of God know that we're the people of God. We're the people of God. Nothing arrogant about that. It's truth. Because I know one thing, they're not afraid of us. But they ought to be afraid of God. Because God is going to have the final say. Real quick. Ezekiel 48:35, the Lord is there. Number 10. Jeremiah 23:6. Jeremiah 33:16. The Lord is our righteousness. Hold on. Paul, did you have anything to say about that? Let me bring Paul from the dead and put him on the witness stand. Romans 10:3, we hear, see Paul telling those Roman brethren, those Jews, that they have gone about to establish their own righteousness. Hold on, we do that sometimes. We come up with our own standards. At the fair, we saw men holding hands and women holding hands. They have their own standard. No, that's not the righteousness of God. God is our righteousness. We saw immodesty all the way through there. We got to get out of here. Why? That's not the righteousness of God. Friends, if we're going to be the people of God and God is going to be our God, it's not about what you think, it's about what he says. Amen. It's about what he says. Because truth be told, God's word is all we need. Matthew 4:4. Number 11, the Lord sanctifies. Exodus 31:13. Leviticus 20:8. Literally, he sets us apart. Hold on. He set Israel apart from the Egyptian world. He brought them out, took them across the Red Sea. 1 Corinthians 10 tells us it's the baptism of Moses. And the next thing you know, we have the people of God on their way to the promised land. Hold on, we have the same thing. God takes us out of the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here we obey that gospel, go down in the water, come up a new child of God, a new creature in Christ Jesus. On our way to the promised land, what's that heaven? Our rest. Number 12, God is everlasting. Genesis 21:33. God is Elohim. Genesis 1:1, the plurality of God. As a matter of fact, when you look at that word in the Hebrew, Elohim, only the Hebrew language, and it's amazing that God did this. Only the Hebrew language using the word Elohim could have a plural form to it with a singular representation. Three in one. We'll talk about that next week. That God is Father, the Word, and the Spirit. But how are they one? 1 Peter 1:3-4. They're one in their divinity. In their divinity. Number 14. This one might be confusing. He is jealous. Why is God jealous over you? Because he bought you. Because you belong to him. His son's blood purchased you. Why was he jealous over the children of Israel and didn't want them to go back into Egyptian bondage? Because I bought you. I brought you up out of. And God is the God who brings his people up out of. Isn't it amazing? He brought them up out of. No, I'm just going back. Genesis 12, he brought Abraham up out of the Ur of Chaldees. Here he brought the Egyptians, the Israelites, up out of Egyptian bondage. And here he brings us up out of sin and puts us in Christ. He's a God that loves to bring folk up out of and put them somewhere else. That's the God that we serve. He's a jealous God. 15, he's a God of peace. As a matter of fact, he is peace. Judges 6:24. But I think one of my favorites is 1 Samuel 1 and verse number 3. He's the Lord of Sabaoth, the army, the armies of the Lord. You know, God is an army all by himself. Now, I need us to think about that. God himself could destroy everything without the help of a man. He spoke it into existence. It's continuing through that same spoken word, Hebrews chapter 1 and 2. And it's going to end, 2 Peter 3, verse 10, by that same word. Friends, I need us to think about this. If someone was to ask you, who is God? Could you tell them? Oh, I'm not talking about go to John chapter 4 and verse 24, God is spirit. No, we need more than that. Who is he? He's the God of the universe, and he's the only God that we have. And because of that, he says, I need you to know me. How much time do you spend with God? But, Abana, you don't understand. I work, I got family, running a business. So I don't have time. But hold on, God had time for you. God had time for me. God even had time for those who could care less about him, Romans 5, verse 8 through 10. And he says, what I need from you, I need you to spend time with me. Because one day, I want you to live with me throughout eternity. And for some people, friends, in the Church of Christ today, this will here be their last sermon somewhere. Could it be yours? God is worthy of our time. And when we begin to know who God is through the pages of inspiration, then it will help us in our way of thinking. It will cause us to consult his word instead of to consult our friends. We ought to consult his word instead of consulting. We need to consult him first. Everything we do, we need to consult him first. Because he's God. Next week, we're going to talk about what is God. And friends, I guarantee you, if you're taking notes, you get the CD, I guarantee you, you go through these passages, your faith will begin to get deeper and deeper. And you'll get to the realization and you'll say, I guess I really didn't know who God was. But aren't you thankful that God doesn't throw us away just because we don't know him like we need to know him? That he wants us to seek after him. And he wants us to seek after his son. And how do you do that? By believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. By repenting of your sins. Meaning, turn away from the way you think. Turn away from sin. Turn away from idolatry. Turn away from covetousness. Turn away from that. And God says, turn to me. Brother Bonner, you understand what I go through. It don't matter what you're going through. Turn to God. That's what matters. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord, and here it is, be buried in water. At least you'll have all your sins washed away. That's enough reason. That's more than enough reasons to be faithful. I have all my sins washed away. And then in baptism, here it is, people. You then begin to identify with Jesus. Not your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your husband, your wife, your children, your job, your cars, your assets, your possessions. No, you identify with Jesus. He's your identity. Who's your identity today? If someone was to fall off the face of the earth today, would you fall off with them? But one thing we know for a fact, that Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. He's not going anywhere. Maybe you're a child of God and you need special prayer. You need an identity. God says, I gave you one. I gave you Jesus. I gave you the church that you can be identified with those who are part of the same identity. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.